Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? Time to make a choice. People haven't, and of course we're talking to the choir here tonight, and so in everything I say, you all probably know better than I do. And so maybe that all those Bible verses I read trying to find what I was really trying to share tonight, you all probably know them better than I do. Whose side are you on? You know, as children, I remember the Chicken Little. Oh, Chicken Little, the sky's falling, the sky's falling, the sky's falling. Please fear that the sky is falling. Fear it. That's what Chicken Little's trying to say. I was on the prayer meeting at Redeemer Bible Church a number of years ago, and it was an election, and we had candidates for president. Neither one of them were Christian. And the elder threw down a list of two presidential candidates or presidential candidates and didn't vote, because neither of them were Christian. We've heard in the last few days that the diesel fuel has got 25 days left. All we've got left is 25 days. And we heard about the red wave. Oh, there's a red wave coming, and the Democrats are fearing the red wave. They're fearing red wave. But what happened? Guy didn't fall. The elder of one of these churches that we were members of didn't vote. And they elected one of those two men anyway. And the diesel fuel that they say is only 25 days left, we had Bruce Boy here in town, and we got a good lesson on, because he works on the rigs out in the West, and we got a good lesson on what we're hearing from the federal government. Oh, there's 25 days left. Fear. Fear. Please fear. That's what they want you to do. Fear that we're not going to have transportation. What we understand is, you see, those refineries refine oil to meet the necessity that they have for the production. So if they have so many trucks out driving the streets, they're producing diesel in order to meet the demand. So the 25 days is 25 days tomorrow and 25 days. And what they're really telling you is that we've gotten rid of our supplies that have been lying to us. But please fear. So you can just please fear, and they'll feel better. Red wave. Oh, fear that. Democrats fear. You see, they fear that the Republicans are going to take over the Senate. Now we're fighting one last race trying to hold on to our 50. Was it fear? Was it really fear that the Democrats had, or was it a ploy to lead Republicans not to vote at all? Because we already got six more senators. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. Because they're fearing. We don't know. We really don't know what's going to happen today or tomorrow or until it happens. We really don't know. Unless, of course, we're in control. And we do try to control what we can. For example, we try to control getting to work on time. We try to control fixing lunch so we have something to eat. We try to control these things that we can control, because we can be in control. people, but big things don't have control. Can we make big things happen? What's God's influence on these things? Yeah. The campaign, political campaign. What's God's influence on the election? What's God's influence on poetry and books that are being written? What is God's influence? Some say God is in control. Some people in biblical times did not believe that. In fact, I'm going back to kind of where I was a little bit last time, but I would like to review this. Turn to Psalm 115, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 115, verses 1 through 8. Not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen then say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not. Neither speak they through the throat. They that make them are like them. So it is everyone that trusteth in them. Well, that's those gods, those little gods. And today, people don't believe in those little molten gods so much. And I think if we're really honest with ourselves, we probably say that we don't believe in gods. And we don't make idols with our hands, do we? Sometimes that red car model, we didn't make it, but sometimes it. But anyway, we don't make models that have mouths and hands and don't speak. Turn to Psalm 106, 36 through 43. And yea, they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sanctified their sons and their daughters unto the devils. And they shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. The land was polluted with blood. They defiled with their own works, and went pouring with their own inventions. Therefore the wrath of the Lord kindled against the people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. He gave them unto the hand of the heathen. They that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their land. Many times did he deliver them. They provoked him with their counsel. They were brought low for their iniquity. They were sacrificing to God. They were sacrificing people to God. And in some of the information that I got was that they were, like they prayed in these parades, they have trumpets and drums and make a noise to cover children's screams as they were sacrificing. Most people, I think, in this country would tell you that we have gotten rid of those ancient little gods of the Bible. Baal, the god of promises, the father of all other little gods, Ishtar, or Ashtoreth, god of sex and sacrifice, sacrificing your children, you see, because that meant that you could play the game of sex without having responsibility. Molech, the god of destruction, destruction of buildings and children, governments, many gods. There were many, many more gods, and these names that I've got here are the gods that we see in the Bible sometimes, and sometimes there are other gods that are named in the Bible. They're not all the gods. There's lots of them, even gods for this place and that place, and on, these little gods. There's no God. All things become God. So abortion becomes a God. Diversity becomes a God. Climate becomes a God. Because if there's no God, and I believe in climate, surely climate is a God. Founders of the U.S. brought in the Bible in Christ's words into our country. And now turn to Matthew 22:35-40. Matthew 22:35-40. Then one of them, which is a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. Well, U.S. founders did undertake to kind of accept the biblical words and build our country on these biblical provisions, including liberty and all of that. Do I turn to Matthew 6:24? You all know it probably by heart, but I'll turn there and read it. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. U.S. founders on biblical principles bought into this and included it and incorporated it in our government. Well, we don't have a lot of people in this country that I think believe in those ancient gods, or Ishtar. We have a lot of issues. This country has a lot of issues, So, I started making a list of some of them, just some of them. And I got to, I think, 98 or 78. I'm not going to read them all to you, but Black Lives Matter, abortion, gay marriage, transgender, Biden's computer, Biden's health, Biden's misstatements, packing the court, diversity. Now, remember abortion and transgender and diversity and social justice and defend the police and January 6th, assault on the country, election fraud, Trump's language, Trump's taxes, Russiagate, alleged bomb outside the official offices of the political parties, mask mandates, shutdown, vaccines, border crisis, we've just begun to list them all. Well, there's no gods in here, are there? Or are there no gods in here? Well, so then we have the media and the Justice Department, and climate change and gun control and speech, limitations on our speech. Sounds like, to me, little gods are returning. Difference is in form. Don't make little models of them, or do we? We don't really make silver models in the abortion. But we still have representations that are presented in the movies, and pictures, and the artwork, and kind of show. Ishtar. Kind of show what Ishtar believes in. Diversity. Well, you say, diversity is kind of really, really an interesting little god that they've got going for them. We got to have diversity. And in some of the businesses, they've got to have diversity. And so they fire the man that's the head of this department, and then they bring in a woman that fits that diversity because she's the right color or the right race or the right language or what have you. But that's diversity. And then you see they don't believe in God, so they cut God out. God already had this handled. God already handled it because he says, love your neighbor. He'd already presented that. We were supposed to love your neighbor. And that includes, when you see what the world's really like, and we're talking about hundreds of thousands of miles out there that this world exists, and we're just a little tiny planet. Those people on our planet are our neighbors. Those people that live way out there, and I don't think there are any, but if there are any, they're not maybe our neighbors. But those people on this planet are. And so they've already taken it. And what diversity does then, you see, sets up an acceptance. We're supposed to accept. This isn't diversity for the purposes of love the neighbor. This is diversity for the purpose of accepting their ilk, all their wrongs, all their problems, all their issues, accepting their way of dress, accepting the way they handle their language, the way they teach their children, and what they're so. That's what they mean by diversity. They don't really mean love your neighbor. Then there's the little god of climate. They are the god of the weather. And of course, you see, if they were really, really, really god of the weather, they could control the tornadoes. I haven't seen our government control a tornado yet. They complain if the governor of Florida doesn't clean up the mess fast enough. They blame him as being some sort of a bad person, but they haven't been able to avoid the tornado. But according to them, you see, if you buy this climate thing, this climate god, he's going to control our universe. All of our climate, all of throw a little rainstorm. Don't believe in God. Everything becomes God. Everything. Diversity, social justice, abortion, climate change, all these other things on this list, and 90-some of them on that list, become little gods. I've got in my notes here to turn to Matthew 6, verse 24. I think I maybe have read this before, even in this lesson. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So, this country really kind of accepted in our founding documents there were no other gods. If there are other gods, then they threaten our liberty, threaten our founding success. They threaten our economy. They threaten faith, our issues. In the past, I've discussed the arts as being a necessary element of our country and our world, and I talked about it from the standpoint of sculptors and writers. And in the Epoch News, there's an article in the Epoch News this a couple of weeks ago. What is poetry? What is poetry? That's one of the arts, I guess. That's what you would say. Artists depend on liberty. They depend on the ability to really design a building that nobody else designed before. That's what gets them recognition. Poetry, they write a poem that is very appropriate or meaningful to some people, because then it becomes different type of writing or poetry. It becomes one of the standards, one of the really great poems. But the article in the Epoch Times was complaining because the people in the societies of the poetry were saying, what is poetry? And they have had for a long time a saying in the poetry world that poetry is a little word machine. A little word machine. Well, that was okay in the old days, 300-400 years ago. That's kind of what they called what poetry was. But in truth and fact, the modernists, postmodernists, and the modernists that are in the world today are pushing equality. Another one of those little gods. And they don't mean equality from the standpoint of same number of lines in the poetry or the same author or the same. They mean everybody has the exact same number of lines, or everybody has the same poem. Everybody writes the same verse. Everybody writes. Interesting how this comes about, because see, this is part of this whole problem that we have now. We're trying to push diversity and equality, and the poets are trying to push same, like a machine. So the machine then becomes, you see, a machine that produces the same type of poem after poem after poem after poem. What the machine wants, everything. That's the way the machine is made. Diversity, they want you to accept other people. They do not necessarily pushing your neighbor. Equality. They say they want equal results. So if I make $50,000 a year as a lawyer, then they should make $50,000 whether they work or not. That's what they mean by equality. And that's social justice, too. You see, they all ought to get the same thing. So if I'm out on the streets, then we ought to release, which they've just done here in the last day or so, release those people that are convicted of abusing. Release them out on the street. Abortion. Maybe sacrificing our children to the God for the thought that we might get a blessing. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's not right. Oh, yes, it is. You see, if we don't have to take care of the child, then we can go play in our sex game with impunity, because if we have another child, we can. All those little gods. Everybody's the same. See the pictures in the newspaper of the Chinese military, and they all, you look down the row, boy, they are straight as an arrow right down the row. Every foot is in the air, exact same place. Every foot's touching the ground, exact same place. They want. Well, how does all of this apply to the red wave? You see, we thought we were going to have a winning election here, and how does all of this? Well, here's just an interesting observation that I make myself, I guess, or I say it's interesting. Perhaps you will find it's not so, but here's the problem. What we have is all these little gods out here. And so if I support abortion, and I live in Pennsylvania, and I believe in abortion, and that guy that's running for senator believes in abortion, I vote for him because, you see, it's just a little sin. I'm just voting for my little sin. Everybody sins. And it's just, that's my sin. I'm just voting for that sin. Because, you see, I don't care whether he supports climate. I don't really care whether he supports diversity, because my sin is abortion. I want that right. And the guy that supports climate change wants climate change. And the guy that wants diversity wants diversity. The guy that wants this God and this God, that guy supports them all. He supports them all. So you see, those people that support the climate change, in order to support their little God that is the God that takes over for the real God, in their mind, that's they vote for. Because it's just, if it's a sin, it's just a little sin. Otherwise, they think they are good Christians. We have that with the president. He supports abortion. He wants to tell you he's a good Christian. You can make up your own mind. But there are a large group of people that don't believe in God, and so they believe in all of those things, all of these little gods. They don't believe in God. So, worst candidate gets the vote of one of those people that has a little god that he supports. Another little god that somebody else supports. Consequently, you can't predict red wave. Or did the Democrats do a good job the American public? Encourage us. Believe that we're going to have 9 more senators than Democrats. Therefore, we prefer they not to go to the polls. Oh. If you have those little gods, 95 or 50 of them or 60 of them, and this guy supports them all, and he gets 3 or 4 votes from this people that believe in this little God, 3 or 4 votes that believe in this God. God, even though they would otherwise not accept all of those other little gods they believe in one. I'm not sure that's all of them, but certainly some of the people can't campaign, go around the country and hold signs for abortion all the time, and at the same time go around the country and hold signs for climate change. They've got their little god. They are deceived into these their sins. God paid their debt for them. Those who don't think that, those who don't believe that He paid their debt, don't believe in God at all. And those that do think it's a sin, a little sin. No amount of truth will set you right when you don't believe in God. Don't believe in God, because you will sucker in, believe anything they promote. Because if you don't believe in God, you can be suckered in. So let's turn then to Jude 16. It is Jude, but it's just one. Book, and I'm going to verse 16 in Jude. I'm going to read all the way through 25. These are the murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their own mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time, who would walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and of others with fear pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted in the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to only the wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever and ever. Amen. And so here what we have is what he's telling us is we're right here where they're talking about, where we need to be picking those people that we can who have maybe one hang-up. Abortion, God, maybe one or two. We need to be pulling some of those out of the fire. We're not going to get them all. We're not going to change all the hearts. We're not going to even get very many of them. We need to be pulling what we can out of the fire. We need to be sharing the gospel message with those people that will listen and hear. Most importantly, we need to make a choice. See, the choice is God, not God. Choose God. We need to understand right now that no matter, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. Don't know where we're going to be, who's going to be there. We don't know if we're going to be arrested on our doorstep and put in jail with no real accusation whatsoever, because we made the statement we made tonight here in this church and they've got a copy of it. We don't know. We don't know whether they're going to do like they do the prisoners in Washington, D.C. for the January 6th, keeping there without access to a family or attorney. We don't know what's going to happen. So if we're going to make a choice, then we're very concerned. No matter what the threat is, God, we choose Jesus. Who's threatening us? No matter where we are, no matter what happens, we need to make up our minds right now. If the guy's holding a gun to your head, giving you a choice to bail, stick with your choice of God already. There. Oh. Voice. 3 or 4 years ago, I would not have said anybody would have to make. We're there now. There are people in that prison in Washington, D.C. that have made the choice and they have sat there for what, almost? They're not going to knuckle under. Need understand that we are, as Jude says, there will be mockers in the last time, walk after their own ungodly lusts. Will be those people that will support them. Governments that may benefit them more than us. Tough choice. We are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you that this is your church. We want to thank you that you have blessed this church over and over and over again. And we pray, Father, that you continue to bless Lake Country Bible Church with your wisdom and guidance, that you work with the leaders and those people in positions of doing the grunt work and the task of keeping and maintaining the church. Pray, Father, for all of them. Pray for Steve now as he teaches and leads us in the choir. Pray your blessings on all of our family members and all of our extended church members, the visitors, those people that are regular attenders, and those people that come as guests and visitors. We pray for all of them. Pray that Holy Spirit would indwell all of them, and that they would be blessed by knowing your Son as their Savior. In Jesus' name, we pray.